Our scripture today is taken from James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Larry will have our sermon.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It is good to see Rocky and Christine here this morning. Just before Rocky left, I got asked to do my first sermon, and as I thought about trying to prepare a sermon, it just scared me to death, and I got to admit, it still does, but Rocky sat down with me before him and Christine moved away and helped me out and showed me a layout of how to try to put a sermon together, and I'm not saying that I've figured it out yet. I'm still a work in progress, but it was a blessing to have Rocky's help to be able to guide me through that process. This morning we're going to be talking about words. How many of us have grown up, you know, in our lives and all around us, and all we've heard is negative speaking or negative talk? You know, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "I can't stand that," or "I hate that," or "you're stupid," or "you're dumb," or "why did you do that?" Or I've even heard, you know, people say, parents say that, "I wish you would never been born," and just terrible, hateful things that we've heard, and if not heard, we may have said some of those things ourselves, even, you know, to other people. And when we speak, we don't realize how powerful our tongue is and how damaging the words are or can be that come out of our mouths, and how that can affect others, you know, for years and years to come. So let's talk about words. God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing of God within you. That's why Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me," Philippians 4:13. His heart and his spirit had received God's word. It wasn't Paul's ability that made him say that, but the ability of God formed in him by the word. And out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke. Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. We read in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We must learn to use our words more effectively. The words you speak will either release you or hold you into bondage. By the prayer of their own mouth, they have been set in a position where they cannot receive from God. And we have all been guilty of that and done that from one time to another. We've used our tongue to form the very words that defeat us. We've even prayed contrary to the word of God. We have prayed defeat and received it. We have prayed the problem and it became greater. Even prayer produces after its kind. In Mark 11:24, the word says, "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them." The words of our prayers should be chosen carefully and spoken accurately. We have often prayed, "Lord, I have prayed, and it's not working out. The devil has defeated me." But notice what the word said. "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe, and you receive." Defeat is not what we desire, so don't pray it and don't say it. You can see how the wrong choice of words can cause even your prayers to work against you. Now let's compare this prayer with the Word of God. First, you have prayed the problem and not the answer. The Word said, "Pray the things you desire." And you desire the answer. Second, you have released faith in the ability of the enemy. And to make things even worse, you have established the words of the devil that prayer doesn't work and that things are getting worse. You're walking by sight and not by faith. When we do this, we've denied the word of God. You have done it because of a lack of knowledge. In Hosea 4:6, God said, "My people are destroyed or cut off for the lack of knowledge." Begin now to become more word conscious. Good words last and carry enormous power to help heal, encourage, and move us to a greater level of living. When you say something positive or encouraging to your spouse or to your kids or to your friends, your words will last forever. Amen. Words are like little seeds that produce according to the word of God. God's word will produce after its kind. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 16:23-24. It is the word abiding in you that causes faith to be present in your words. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask me what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." John 15:7-8. Notice how it glorifies the Father when you get your prayers answered and your needs met. And verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be full." Your joy can be full if the word of Mark 11:24 abides in you. When you pray, believe. Prayer is one of the means of releasing faith, so if you will line up yourselves with the word of God and release our faith when we pray, we will see the power of God come into our lives. God's word is just as powerful today as it was when he spoke it. Not one bit of the power has left God's word. God's creative power is still in his word, just as it was when he stood there in the beginning in time and said, "Light be," and light was. You can speak God's words after him and they will work for you. But they must be formed in your spirit, and they must become a part of you, and they must abide in you continually. Man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and you were created in the image of God. Then, according to the scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling or residing inside of you. The enemy knows there is power in your words, and that is why he tries so desperately to get you to confess doubt and fear and unbelief. Have you ever caught yourself saying, "I can't"? I've had many people tell me over the years that they can't do anything. And I've even said that myself, that it can't be done, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. How about the words, "I'll try"? Chantel brought that up last week in the Sabbath school class. How many times have you prayed, "Lord, I'll try"? Or told someone, "I'll try," or "maybe"? When, if we be honest with ourselves, the word "try" really, when we use that word, it probably really means maybe, or that I might, or we'll see. You know, what are we doing praying to God and saying we'll try to do anything? We should never pray that kind of prayer. The words "I'll try" Confessing that you are unworthy after being born again is contrary to the word. We need to quit praying and saying, Lord, I am unworthy. You were unworthy, but that old man died with Christ. You are now a new creation in Christ, and anyone in Christ cannot be unworthy. I want you to notice that Jesus knew that there was power in his words when he spoke to the fig tree. It withered and died. Now notice in verse 22, he said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. In verse 23, Jesus stopped long enough to tell his disciples how the God kind of faith works. You and I need to know how it works. And if you have faith in your heart, it is the God kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He didn't say a measure, he said the measure. It is the same measure everybody got when they were born again. And the problem is that some of us still haven't developed that yet. The word tells you how to develop your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans 10:17, the literal Greek says, faith cometh by report, and that report comes from God. Hearing what God said will build faith inside of you because he's able to perform his every declaration. Now Jesus tells you how to apply the God kind of faith and to get it to work. Perhaps you've tried it in all kinds of ways. You've tried it by bombarding the gates of heaven by just praying it over and over and over and found out that that didn't work. Well, let's see something that does work and let's act on it. Here is what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall unto this mountain be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Mark 11:23. He didn't say just the things you say to the mountain. He said those things which he saith. Everything we say. You must watch what you say, and you have to believe those things that you say. Everything that you say will come to pass. That will activate the God kind of faith within you, and those things which you say shall come to pass. Creative power was in God's mouth, and it's in our mouths also. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and create a world, but you can create a different world that you live in by the words that come out of your mouth, by speaking faith-filled words instead of speaking words of fear. Fear is the reverse gear of faith. And fear is produced by believing wrong things. Fear is faith in the enemy's ability. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Matthew 12:35. Where do the good things of life come from? Jesus said they come out of your heart. He didn't say they come from staying up late hours at night, working your fingers to the bone, working on your computers. He said the good things of life come out of your heart. Whatever you store there, the information that you program your spirit with will produce for you. It always produces after its kind. Faith produces faith. Fearful words produce fear and abundance. When I talk about the spirit, I'm talking about the heart. The heart and the spirit are the same. The way you program your spirit with the word of God is by saying the things God said about you in his word. Imitate God. Say the same things he said. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of times we've gotten off faith and cast out God's words and started believing what the devil has said. You release the ability of Satan when you start saying what he said. Fear activates the devil, and faith brings God on the scene. Before you ever make a confession of what comes into your head, ask yourself, who said that and what is its source? We should pause, ponder, and pray before we start speaking. If it doesn't agree with the word, you know who said that. The devil said it. Don't quote it. If you do, that's his deception. Did you know the devil doesn't have any power over the believer? The only ability Satan can exercise over you is the ability to deceive you. And if he can get you to believe his lies, he's got you playing right into his hands. And if you go quoting what he said, believe me, he can put a stiff one on you and strong, and all your praying won't help you any. You can see that you've moved God out of it. You have said, Lord, it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. You have stopped God's ability immediately. Maybe it was just about to come into manifestation, but now you have established Satan's word in the earth that it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. So in reality, we have established Satan's word. God's word says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119:89. God's word is already settled in heaven. The word says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:19. We have plenty of scripture that says God is more powerful than the devil, and he will put you over every time you act on the word. World overcoming faith dwelleth on the inside of you. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. So you have a lot of scripture to back you up in that, but you don't have any to back you up that Satan is smarter than God or even smarter than you. When you're in Christ, you have the access to the mind of Christ. Let's go back to the 12th chapter of Matthew and look at verse 36. Jesus is speaking now. Nobody spoke with more authority than Jesus. And thank God when Jesus spoke, he meant it. He meant what he said. And he said what he meant. He never talked any foolishness. He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The word idle means non-effective or non-working word. He said that every word you speak that is not working for you will have to be accounted for by you on the day of judgment. You see that the words work against you. He said that you're going to be justified or condemned by the words of our mouths. Matthew 12:37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We need to watch what we say, and we need to set a watch on our mouth. In the 3rd chapter of Romans, verses 3 and 4, the word says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In other words, he said that if somebody comes up with the old unbelief dripping off of them like molasses out of a syrup bucket, saying, oh, I don't believe it's going to work for me this time, let God be true and that man a liar, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. When you get to heaven, you're going to be judged on who you believe, God or man. Man says it's getting worse and you can't do that. And I'll tell you, it's not just the world that says that. There are some Christians that I think sometimes they have been sprinkled with fear and rolled in doubt and stuffed with unbelief and insulated to the Word of God. They will believe everything but the Word of God. Some will swallow the enemy's biggest lie but won't believe God's simplest truth. They will say, "Oh yes, brother, I know that's in the Bible, but you don't understand." Yes, I do understand. The Word says it works, and they are saying it doesn't work. You just don't understand. I still hurt. But the Word says you're healed. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to deny that pain exists, nor do I deny the existence of disease. But I do deny its right to continue in my body. Feelings change, but the Word does not change. If you do not feel healed, go to the Word and get some feelings. The Word of God in your spirit will change your physical feelings. The Word brings health. Proverbs 4:22 says, "My word is health, medicine to all our flesh." The Word will bring health to the physical body. The question is, if some didn't believe what you said concerning healing for your body, would that unbelief stop the God kind of faith, the faith that speaks from working? Now let's talk about the confession of the Word. In Matthew 10:32 it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:1. Jesus and the Word are the same. You cannot separate them. He implies that if you are confessing Jesus, you are confessing the Word. He is the living Word of God. And he said, if you confess my Word before men, I'll confess you before the Father. In 1 John 5:15, John said, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that are desired of him." Did you know you can believe in unbelief? That is what you're doing when you say, "I can't do what the Word says I can do." Here is an example. The Word says that he that is born of God overcometh the world. You have overcome because the greater one is in you. Now, if you deny that, you are in unbelief and you have released faith in a negative statement. "But I can't," or "I'm not able." Jesus said, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10:33. He said, "I will deny you." Jesus is our go-between. He is making intercession for us. He is our high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:1, that means that Jesus confesses to the Father what we say as long as it agrees with the Word. In other words, he said, "If you confess my words before men, I'll confess what you say before the Father." You will get an audience before the Father, he said. What you pray that agrees with the Word, I'll see to it that it goes right to the Father. Then you will get your prayer answered. But if you don't do it, I'll deny you before the Father. It won't be transferred or transmitted to him. When you start praying and say, "Lord, I have prayed and it's not working out," this is a statement of unbelief, and Jesus will not go to the Father and say, "Father, he's prayed, but it's not working out for him." That's against the Word of God. He will deny that statement before the Father. When you pray that way, your prayer never gets to heaven. Now, God's word of wisdom. We find in Proverbs that there are some things that we have stumbled over and have not looked up because they're in the Old Testament. You see, a lot of times people say, "Well, you know, the Old Testament is just history." But Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived until Jesus, wrote these proverbs. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are the life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20-23. Keep your spirit of your heart with all diligence, for the forces of life come from the heart. The word heart refers to the center of a man's being, which is our spirit. Here the writer of Proverbs, inspired of the Holy Spirit, is saying the same thing that Jesus said, the good things that come out of our heart or out of our spirit. Verse 24 says, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Or speaking contrary to what the word says, for the word is the wisdom of God. God's word is his wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:30. When we speak contrary to the word and say, it's not working out, I prayed and it's not working out, that's perverse speech. And that is against the word of God. Watch your language. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, Proverbs 6:2. Understand this, words work. They will work for you just as they worked for Jesus. They are working for you or against you, whether you realize it or not. Now, here's a question for you. What category are you in? And to make this a fair question, I need to explain what I'm talking about. They say that there are three types of people. Those who think before they speak, those who think while they speak, and those who think after they speak. So I ask you, which one are you? We have programmed our vocabulary with the devil's language. We have brought sickness and disease into our vocabulary and even death. The main word so many people use to express themselves is death. The word death, I know you've heard people say, oh, I'm just dying to do that. Or they say, I will just die if I don't. Or maybe even, oh, that just tickled me to death. Now that, my friends, is perverse speech. That's contrary to God's word. Because death is of the devil. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20:14. We need not to buddy up with death because all of us are going to die soon enough. So don't start buddying up with it now. Adam was smarter than that. It took the devil over 900 years to kill him, but now the devil is programmed his language into the human race until people can kill themselves in about 70 years or less by speaking his words. We need to notice what the word says about the mouth and the tongue. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, Proverbs 10:11. Verse 21 and 24 say, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come to pass upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The thing you fear will come upon you. Fear will activate Satan. Job activated Satan by his fear. The thing which I greatly fear has come upon me, Job 3:25. Activating faith in the word brings God on the scene, and fear brings Satan on the scene. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out, and the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, Proverbs 10:31-32. The lips of the righteous, they know what is acceptable in our speech. What is acceptable in our speech is what God said. In fact, you'll find that when you begin to quote what God said, it's just as though God had said it. If you say in faith, and it's coming out of your heart, it's just as if God had said it. It will work for you just like it worked for him. Program your spirit with the word of God and believe and doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things which you are saying will come to pass. You see, there is more to it than just saying. The words must originate from the inner man, where spiritual power is released through words. Now notice with me in Proverbs 11:11, by the blessing of the upright city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. The wicked have talked against our nation, and I'll tell you, a lot of Christians have done the same thing. They have said, oh, that bunch of idiots up there, they don't know what they're doing. They should have been saying, thank God. I believe God to give those men in Washington the wisdom of God to deal wisely with the affairs of the nation. If Christians would do that, it would change the situation in Washington. Start saying, I thank God that the leaders of our nation have the wisdom of God, and pray for them daily. Father, give them the wisdom of God to deal wisely with the affairs of life. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs 12:6. What is deliver them? The mouth of the upright. Deliverance is as close as your mouth. The mouth contains the tongue that controls faith and fear. We need to understand this when we start speaking what God said. The devil is going to sit up and take notice. God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8. Who's going to do it? We have always thought that God was going to do it. God said, if you will do my word, you have done it, and I'll see that it's performed. I prayed, Father, you make this prosper, but I was not doing the word. God said, you do my word, and it will prosper. He said, you have made your way prosperous. Choose words of life. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, Proverbs 12:14. The fruit of his mouth would be what his mouth produced. In other words, by the produce of his mouth, he will be satisfied or disappointed. The words of his mouth should cause him to be satisfied with good. Verse 17 of the same chapter says, he that speaketh truth showeth for righteousness. And what is truth? The word of God is what's truth, and it showeth forth righteousness. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health, Proverbs 12:18. Now you better get this one. This is heavy. He said, there are people speaking, and it's just like jabbing a sword in you and cutting you and damaging you or damaging themselves. They are desiring something from God, but they're cutting themselves up spiritually by saying, oh, I am so unworthy. I can't get my prayers answered. I don't know why the Lord won't heal me. These are people who are believers using their tongues to destroy their faith, using their God-given ability to hold themselves in bondage. God has given us the ability to use our tongue to create a better life by speaking the words that are full. In closing, I want to ask you one question. If you were told that God records every word that you speak, would this help you think about what you're saying before you speak? You bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this Sabbath day, Lord. And Father, we want to ask a blessing for the fathers out there tomorrow, Lord, as Father's Day draws near us. And Lord, ultimately for you, we want to praise you and thank you and honor you. And you are our Heavenly Father, Lord, and oh, what a blessing you are to us. Lord, I pray that each one of us that are here today will learn to use our words more wisely, Lord, and to think before we speak, and to have faith-filled words, Lord, when we speak to others, and that those words will help to glorify you in everything that we do and say. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.